Welcome back to the Book of Psalms, Psalm 105 today, and it's a long one. I always believe that you're probably better off listening more to God's Word than you are to me. So I'm going to do my best to take this long psalm, comment on it, but actually give you as much of the Word of God I can in these next 10 minutes. Well, we all know what a rally is, right? Someone in power gathers people up into a crowd and talks about what they've done, what they're doing, and what they're going to do. And there's usually a theme song pumping, something rousing, something that gets you amped, something that speaks of victory. This is God's hype song, something to get you pumped up about what God has done so you can be confident of what He's doing now and is going to do in your own life today. This song comes right out of the gate telling us to praise God, followed by the why. What He's done in the past to give us the reason to praise Him with all we've got. Verse 1, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. That, my friends, is the heart of this psalm. The psalmist will go through God's wonderful, amazing acts throughout Israel's history, so that we today can catch a glimpse of who God is and what He does. And knowing that will make me rejoice. He's my God. He's our God. Because if He did all of these wonderful things for them, He'll do the same for us. Verse 3. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Looking back to the past helps us to look up now in the present to God. Seek His face always. That means past, present, future, through the good times and through the bad. Even when we don't see Him working, look back, says the psalmist, remember what He's done. Verse 5. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced. You, His servants, the descendants of Abraham, His chosen ones, the children of Jacob, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the promise He made for 1,000 generations. So before He walks us through the corridors of history, showing the exhibit of how He worked through Abraham, Moses, others, He first reminds us that God remembers that same covenant He made to them or those promises for 1,000 generations. That brings you and me right into it. We are a part of this. This isn't just a dry, dusty history lesson. This is the same God who works today. He told us what He did in the past so we could be confident today that He's working now. In verse 9, Exhibit A, the land. The covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac, He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you, I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, He rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Till what was foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of peoples set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. Let's pause from history class for a second there and learn the lesson. When Israel was nothing, God caused them to grow and made Joseph the second most powerful man in the world like it was nothing. No matter what you think may be going on around you today, remember, God can turn the tide for you just like you did for them, in a second. Globally, locally, personally. God is the master of the surprise ending. He's the rescuer of Jerusalem against Sennacherib. He's the resurrector of a dead Savior. He's the surprise jam of the gun in the final moment. The future is unwritten, my friends, and God is looking to rewrite many of our stories even now. But the psalmist isn't done. Verse 23, Exhibit B, what God did in Egypt through Moses. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. For had they not rebelled against his words, he turned their water into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of their rulers. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. Let's pause for a second. All of this could be summed up by saying, he delivered them. They suffered. It was tough, but he got them through. Just like he'll get you and I through. But look at what he used in the 10 plagues sent to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Grasshoppers. Frogs? Flies. At first glance, it's amazing that all of nature is at God's disposal. But on a deeper level, each one of these was a mockery of the pagan gods they worshipped. For each of these animals had a deity attached to it. But God demonstrated dominion over everything the Egyptians feared and tried to place their confidence in. But God doesn't just deliver. He also provides. Verse 37. He brought out Israel, laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes, no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because the dread of Israel had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. Water from rocks, shelter from the heat, light to illumine the darkness, quail out of nowhere, bread that falls from heaven like it's cloudy with a chance of manna. We may not always know what direction the provision we need is going to come from, but if we're paying attention, we know the source. God. God is the provider of his people. But before the psalm ends, the psalmist sums up the reason why God does all this for his people. Verse 42. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. In the last few verses, the psalmist summarizes his three main points again. Verse 42, he remembered his promises. That was God's faithfulness. Verse 43, he brought out his people with rejoicing. That was God's deliverance. And finally, in verse 44, he gave them an inheritance. That's the provision that we just read about. But again, we ask, why? Why did God do all of those things for his people? Why does he still? Verse 45 answers, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Believe it or not, God's laws are a blessing. We hear the words laws or precepts, and it just doesn't sound that appealing. Until we remember that the sum of the law was to love God and to love others. When God gave his people the law, he gave them a new way to live. Less painful, less confusing, less destructive way to live. God's faithful deliverance and provision are so that we can live differently in our relationship with him and others. A life full of love, a life full of hope. A life not stuck in the past, but a life with a future. And that gives the psalmist his final motivation to utter his final verse. Praise the Lord. Don't let today go by without praising God for His faithfulness, for His deliverance, for His provision. That's all the time we have for today. I'll see you next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.